This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good Friday morning, everybody. I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Mary Kitzmiller from Kemp, Texas, and you are listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for February 26th, episode 1369, Good Morning Horse World.
What is your favorite day of the week?
You never stop learning, you never stop understanding. It's more in depth than just riding a horse. Exciting, knowing that for the rest of my life I could work on this and I'll never stop learning.
Well, good morning, everybody. Thank you so much for stopping by on this Friday morning. We appreciate you being here. A little change of schedule this week. I am right now, as we speak, doing a keynote presentation at PodFest Tampa. So I'm down there talking to several hundred podcasters doing the keynote talk. So think good thoughts for me because they were billing me as the star of the show and I better not screw up. So I hope I don't. But anyway, so we asked Mary if she would fill in today. We're pre-recording this and we're getting you new content here today. Hi, Mary.
Good morning or afternoon. How are you?
Good. Mary's normally here the second Thursday of every month, but we asked her to switch this time because we were going to be out. So we appreciate that. And Jamie is off today. She'll be probably playing with her new Mustang, and she will be back on Monday, and we can get a report on how everything's going with them. But Mary, you've had quite some adventures. You were supposed to be on the second Thursday of the month, and we're going to talk about why that didn't happen and your adventures. And, you know, everybody that has traveled any distance with horses and trailers is going to relate to your story. But first, I want to mention what is coming up on today's show. We kind of have a Road to the Horse preview. Mary and I are going to be doing the Road to the Horse coverage in a couple of weeks in Lexington, Kentucky together. We get to hang out a whole weekend together, which will be fun. And I think we're going to be doing a total of 8 hours live coverage, which you've never done that money before. So that'll be fun for you.
Yeah, that's gonna
be really
exciting.
You're going to have to think about what to say for 8 hours, Mary.
Oh, that's not a problem for me.
So we'll be doing that coming up. And today on the show, we have Michael Gaskin, who was supposed to be here on Friday when we had Tammy here, but he had cell phone issues and couldn't make it. He is the dinosaur rider, the video that everybody's seen of the dinosaur riding the Pasifino horse that's now had over 3 million views. He'll be on. He's also an entertainer, and he's going to be talking a little bit about entertaining and Pasifinos and how the heck the dinosaur came about. And then also Nick Dowers is the only contestant for Road to the Horse that we have not talked to. And he's coming on today to talk about cow horse training, which he is a bit of an expert at. Plus, we have a listener question, and Mary's also going to be talking about showing your horse what you want as opposed to what you don't want. All of that coming up on today's show. Well, now you headed off beginning of the month on a trip to California, which didn't go exactly as planned.
You know, I've been to California twice now for horse events, once in 2012 and then once, you know, just a few weeks ago. And I am 0-2 on having successful trips. I mean, we made it there in one piece. Horse is fine, you know. But
you brought Guthrie out, right?
I brought Guthrie. Yeah, it was for the Western States Horse Expo, and that is in Pomona. And
you brought your big trailer with the living quarters and everything?
Yes.
And your one lonely horse in the back?
Yes. Well, unfortunately, we had to kind of cram Guthrie in the third stall because the rest of it was my booth. So we had everything in one trailer. You know, the first time I went out, we had 4 blowouts. But that wasn't my fault.
What is with your tires?
this one was not my fault. Me and another girl went and did this competition out there, and we borrowed a trailer because it was going to be nicer and bigger and roomier. But then when I got there to pick the trailer up, they said, oh, you know, we put new tires on last year, but it's just sat for a year. And this was in South Texas I picked it up in. So those were rotten tires that popped like balloons all the way through the hot Texas highways and New Mexico highways. So that was fun. And we almost made it on this latest trip in 2000, you know, this one that I just came back from. Almost made it okay. But on the way back, we had a day-long detour because we blew our tire, and which is fine because I had a spare. We had all the tools we needed. But the tread got wrapped around the axle several times. So,
oops.
Yeah. So the good news is it was the first time that I had to use this new trailer service I'm using called TrailGuard. And I think you guys have had them
on
before.
Yeah, I think we did. There's two of them out there, right? There's TrailGuard and the other one. I can't think of the name of right now. Yeah.
And so I had to use them, and I was very, very leery, you know, really hoping.
Because you were like in the middle of nowhere, weren't you?
We were really in the middle of nowhere. And they were great. And they everything went off without a hitch. There was one hitch, and that's because I couldn't figure out where we were. And I told them to go 7 miles the other way.
Well, if you're in the middle of the desert, how do you exactly tell them if you can't see a mile marker?
I was looking at a map, but I don't understand. I would be a horrible sailor. I would be like Christopher.
Did you even have cell service? You're lucky you even had cell service.
Yeah, I had cell service.
Because what do you do then?
Oh, that's what I don't know. I don't know what you do.
You wait until somebody goes by and hope he's not a mass murderer?
Yeah, hopefully flag a trucker down who can get on his radio or something. I don't know. So, I mean, we got everything put back together okay, but it put us a long time behind between trying to fix the tower ourselves and then calling the service and then giving them the wrong directions and then actually getting it fixed. So that put me a day behind, so I was not able to make it back in time to do the show, unfortunately.
Well, you went and did Western States. How did that go while you were out there? You did clinics out there, right?
Yes, it was really, really good. I focused all my demos on positive reinforcement training, which this is, even though I've been doing this for about a decade now, actually, you know, bringing it out in front of the public and everything is still pretty new to me. So it was really interesting to see what feedback I would get. And it was wonderful. And it was a really great event. They had, you know, every clinician that you can name was probably there. So it was really fun. And you know, I love that part of California, that part of the country. And, I had a great time.
Now, were your sessions well attended? Did you get any feedback on it?
Yeah, they were pretty good. Where I was pretty interesting. They had me inside this building. You know, it was like a, you know, where they had all the vendors. So they built this, arena. They had these stanchions and they brought in dirt. So it was a smaller arena and,
Was it right in the middle of the, booths?
Pretty much.
Yeah,
was at
I've
the
seen
end
that
of the
before
building.
At expos. They do that.
Yeah.
And then they put like bleachers around.
I was like, it's probably was a good thing. I opted out of bringing the Z-Donk.
Yeah, that wouldn't have gone.
Her little zebra, half zebra mind. But one day I plan on her debut. I'm doing this Central Washington State Fair, which I did this last year. It was a bunch of fun. So that's going to be her debut.
Oh, she's going to have to make the trip to Washington?
Yes.
Over the mountains and through the woods?
Yes. It's going to be in October and she's going to be brilliant.
There you go.
Yes, terrific. That's the plan anyway.
Well, that's terrific. So I'm glad you got home anyway. And I suggest that you buy all new tires. Just get new tires for everything.
We are. You know, the tires on the trailer are pretty, they're not that old, but they're the trailers that came with the tire, which I'm finding out now. I think they're made in China or somewhere.
Yeah. Cheapies.
And yeah, so we have it scheduled to be brought in.
A lot of people make the mistake, too. I'm not saying this is your case, but we learned this recently when we had to get new tires for our trailer. A lot of people make the mistake of buying car tires. Mm-hmm. And car tires and trailer tires are two different things. And I realize car tires are cheaper, but they're not made to take the load that the trailer tires do. So, and they just run a little bit differently. So the trailer tires are made, the tread's a little bit different, and everything's just made for trailers. So there mm-hmm. really is a difference, everybody, between car tires and trailer tires. Although you see 90% of the time people have car tires on there. So there is yeah. a difference.
And next time I buy one brand new from a dealership, I'm just going to splurge the extra money and just have new tires put on. You know, I could keep the others as spares, I guess.
There you go.
I have a lot of spares, which I'll probably use them all.
And it's when you do long strips like that and they get really heated up, that's when you lose the tread.
Mm-hmm. Yep. If your trailer sits out in your yard, and especially if you're yeah. in a place where, like Texas or like I'm sure here, Florida, yeah. it's sitting in
dry
one
rot.
Spot in the sun. Yeah, and they and like you know the trailer we took to California in 2012 was they were brand spanking new tires that hadn't been used. You know, they had sat for a year in the same spot. So they, like I said, they just popped like balloons. It was ridiculous.
Do you guys put covers on your tires?
No, that would be responsible.
Yeah, we do. You know, we tend to here because of the sun. You know, it just yeah. bakes them. And everybody here, you'll see the whole neighborhood, everybody has covers on the tire. Some people cover the whole trailer, but that seemed like a pain in the ass. But, you know, they do put covers on the tires. So you'll see that a lot here. I'm always yeah. afraid of what you're going to find when you take them off. We do live in
yeah.
Florida.
So. Yeah, no. Especially in Florida, yeah.
yeah. Well, now there's another bit of excitement in your life right now. I can't wait to talk to you about. You know that we talk a lot about Thoroughbred Makeover. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the Thoroughbred Makeover is something that started years ago, and we've had Stuart Pittman on a number of times, and we've kind of followed the Thoroughbred Makeover all through the years. And Stuart, by the way, will be on Monday. So
oh,
he's coming on Monday. You'll want to listen to that, Mary.
I will.
Because Mary thought, well, I've trained everything else. I got a Z-Dunk. I've been in Mustang makeovers a bunch. And, you know, I've done Road to the Horse with quarter horses. Why don't I just try a Thoroughbred? So that's what you did. You sent in your registration, right? And they accepted you.
Uh-huh.
So now you're going to be in the Thoroughbred Makeover at the Kentucky Horse Park coming up in the fall, in October, right?
Yeah, you know, I joke all the time about people ask, well, you know, what do you do with horses? What's your career? What do you train for? What kind of shows do you do? And I'm always like, well, because my life for the last 6 years now has been nonstop crazy training competitions, and I love it. It's been a blast. And you know, I actually learned about the makeover. We had a guest on who won it. I think it was Lindsay Partridge who won
yes,
last year.
Yes, yep.
And talking with her about it and, you know, I was looking at the details and it seemed like a really good event. And, you know, there's a lot of enthusiasm to it. And it's kind of a section of the horse world I've not really been a part of yet. I haven't met a lot of people who, you know, in that area. So I thought it'd be a lot of fun. So I literally just ran in here from unloading my brand spanking new off the track Thoroughbred. So yeah,
it was very exciting because what was it, a week ago you were on the phone with Jennifer right at the beginning of the show. Actually, you were driving to look at this Thoroughbred, and Jennifer's bought you know dozens and dozens of Thoroughbreds over the years. And it was so fun hearing you two like little girls, like teenage girls, talking about going out to see this horse. It was very cute.
Oh, and it really struck me at how horribly irresponsible I am when going to buy horses. Right off the bat, I should say that this was the first horse I looked at, and I bought him.
You're
right
one of those fall in love instantly people.
Oh, yeah. And so there was that. But talking with Jennifer, she was like, well, do you know how to do a flex test yourself? I'm like, no. And she's like, well, what about this issue and this issue and this issue? Do you know? I'm like, I didn't ask that. I just asked what color he was, you know.
How old is he? What color is he? And yeah.
He checked everything off my little checklist. Bay, horse, still has all four legs, so I know he's going to be sound.
Yeah, that's always an indication he's going to be sound there, Mary.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. but at the same time, anytime I've put a lot of consideration into what horse I buy. I've proven that I don't have a good eye for horse flesh. So it's better. I just leave it to chance. And usually that works out great for me.
Maybe that's what you need to start doing with guys. Maybe that's the solution. Just leave it to chance.
No.
So what'd you get?
Better. So I have, he's a three-year-old, of course, he's bay, three-year-old bay gelding. And
I think they only come in bay, most of them.
Huh?
They only come in bay, most of them.
Oh, yeah, which happens to be my favorite color. And he's got five starts. I don't think he's placed in anything. I think his earnings are like $1,400. And, you know, I talked with the trainer. The trainer was a really nice guy. His dad actually owns the horse, you know, so they've had their hands on him since he hit the ground. He's never, you know, never been to a sale or anything like that. And he said, you know, he kind of knew when he started him, the horse just wasn't going to be quick enough. But they thought, you know, if they could just set it up to where they find the right races for him, you know, maybe they could win a race or two on him. And after five starts, they said, okay, this guy's not going to do it. So he listed him through Canner, Texas, which is where I found him. And, you know, I tell you what, with this thoroughbred makeover, I had kind of already decided that I was just going to sort of let the right horse fall in my lap. I wasn't going to go crazy trying to look all over the country for one. And I thought, okay, if it's meant to be, it's meant to be, you know, if something just, and sure enough, this horse was listed. A friend of mine saw it, tagged me in it. And I went, looked at him. He looked like everything that I thought I could work with. And I got him, and he's a little bitty guy, 15-1.
Oh, he is little for thoroughbred.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, the English folks call those ponies, but to me, I'm like, wow, 15 whole hands. That's pretty big.
It's bigger than any of my quarter horses.
Exactly.
They tend to be a little narrower than your quarter horses, though.
Yeah.
So did you ride him, or did you see him ridden or anything?
No, you know, I got him right at the track, and I think you have to be licensed.
Yeah, that's true. You do.
Yeah, I did watch him move. Yes. Yeah. I did watch him move for quite a while. And, you know, so, you know, I watched him go and asked a lot about his training and everything like that. My plan, no matter what horse I got, was to restart. So the only things that I wanted to know is, you know, if he's got any major training issues, like has he flipped over backwards on anyone in the last year, you know, but
little things.
Yeah. You know, just small details. Most things I can get through. I'm happy to retrain. It's not a problem, but it's always good to know. And
well, I know how to turn left.
Yes. So I'm told.
The right's a little bit of an issue, but at least you got the left to start.
We got our left, yes. And I'm sure he can go, even though he didn't have the speed for racing, he's probably very good at going faster than what I'm used to.
Now, there's 10 different events at this thing. So what did you do? What did you sign up for? Or don't you have to commit yet?
You don't. It's interesting because they were looking for 500 trainers, I believe. And with this application process, they weren't going to go on a, you know, if they got too many, they weren't going to go on a first come, first serve basis. It was going to be, you know, they wanted to find a good representation of, you know, disciplines and, you know, they wanted to find people who had experience that would really showcase the thoroughbred. So I knew, being that a lot of people have done this in the past are very English oriented. I knew that if I checked off, freestyle and working ranch, and, you know, on the offshoot, they had so many people. I figured there wouldn't be quite as many in those classes. But the good thing about it is you don't have to commit to any class until I think like 2 or 3 weeks before, maybe a month before, because they do understand that the horse is going to, you know, you're going to get to know your horse over the training period. And I may want to do working ranch and my horse says that he wants to be a polo pony. And there is a polo class. So hopefully he doesn't want to do that because I don't know how to play polo.
Yeah, that requires a little coordination and effort
you
on your part.
I want to do what I want to do, yeah.
So are you going to have to get a herd of cattle now to practice?
Well, I do have one cow that I thought I'd practice on. yeah, you know, I thought that probably about 30 rides in, I would start tracking cattle. and see where we go, see how he likes it. He's kind of small and compact enough. I think I'm going to be able to get him doing the maneuver sufficiently. Luckily, I'm not getting him ready for the snaffle of it for charity or anything. So, you know, he doesn't have to be.
We have the right guest coming up. Nick Dowers can help you with this.
Exactly. Explain what that is. That was my motive.
So you do have an advantage in that anything you need to learn along the way, you can just get him on the show.
Free advice. That's all I do every month.
Free advice. The listeners think we're doing it for them. No, this is all for Mary.
No. Yeah.
Well, we do have a couple other things we need to get to here. Good luck with the Thoroughbred. What's his name?
His jockey club name is Landon's First.
Okay.
But I have decided to give him the barn name Moonshine.
Moonshine, I like that.
That just kind of came to me. Well, he's a Texas Thoroughbred, but since we're competing in Kentucky, I thought it fitting.
Hopefully,
I don't have to resort to drinking moonshine to ride.
Maybe he should drink the moonshine. Maybe you're giving it to the wrong person.
Yeah, there we go.
Well, that's fun. I am excited to follow your progress over the next year, and we'll make sure we do moonshine updates. We have a song to play today. I just got the song. All right, I know what I'm going to play today. I'll tell you later. Awesome. You're going to love it. So before we go to our first guest, we have a training tip to get to. We have a listener question for you, too. Stephanie, who was in the studio earlier in the week, she was down from New York City and wants to know, we'll get to this a little later in the show, but she wanted to know, with clicker training, how do you keep them from becoming treat obsessed and aggressive? So I'd like to ask you that a little bit later on. And then you have an online video series we have to talk about. But right now, we have to go to a guest. We have Michael Gaskin coming up. And you'll remember him. He's the dinosaur rider in the video that went around recently. Had 3.1 million views. We'll post a link to that on our Facebook page as well. He's also going to be a Road to the Horse entertainer here in a couple of weeks. This video has had 52,000 shares and 9,000 comments. So we're going to find out what inspired him to put a dinosaur costume on and ride a Pasifino. All of that coming up.
So we have Michael Gaskin on the show today. How are you, Michael?
I'm doing great. Yourself?
I'm good. And I have to say, I was just looking over your Facebook to catch up on this amazing video that has gone crazy viral. For those of you guys who haven't seen it, if you've seen a dinosaur riding a Pasifino lately, Michael is the guy in the video. And, you know, we've seen a lot of cute horsey videos go kind of horse viral in the horse world, but this one has gone like it's internet famous. And so I just saw that it was on ESPN SportsCenter. Is that right?
That is right. And it's funny that I've been getting calls from all over the place, from Colombia and Puerto Rico, from the Northeast and from the West Coast. Everybody says, hey, I saw your horse and a dinosaur riding it.
Oh, my goodness. I tell you what, if you wanted to sell that horse right now, this would be the time.
Yeah. 6 figures at least.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, Tito is definitely the star of the show. He's actually a movie star. He's starring in the movie A Flying Step, which is a Luke Perry movie. And he knows that he's a star. And every time he gets the opportunity to be in front of the camera, he really shines.
So he is kind of a stunt horse to begin with?
Yeah, he's a stud horse. He's a Pasifino stallion. And he has been winning since he was about 3 years old. He's a Grand National Champion. And when he was 4, he got the opportunity to star in the role of Fandango in the movie A Flying Step, which is a Luke Perry movie. And we were up in Memphis shooting that movie for about a month and a half. And he just took to it. Every time the cameras come on, he just perks up and goes into his zone. And he loves the attention.
You know what's ironic, Mary? It's probably more people have seen this video than have seen the movie.
That's absolutely right. We've got so much more publicity for our brief of the Pasifinos with the minute and a half viral video than we ever did with the hour and a half movie.
Wow.
Yeah, I need to hire you as my social media person. You know, every once in a while I see people do something like Bobby Kerr with the horse driving the car, this video. I'm like, why didn't I think of that?
Well, it didn't happen by accident. I told everybody in my circle, you know, over a year ago that I was going to make the first Paso Fino viral video. Mm-hmm. And everybody kind of gave me kind of a crazy look. Well, people around here, they don't even know what a Paso Fino is. How are you going to do that? And we probably made over 100 videos, different horsemanship videos. And like you said, some of them will go horsemanship viral, and we would get, you know, some of the horse communities picking it up. But then after trying and failing probably over 100 times, finally one just caught fire.
Now, what do you think? I mean, obviously, it's a dinosaur riding a Pasofino. So, we know what the appeal was, but why did this one? Well, the crazy, stupid videos always go viral, don't they? It's the serious ones that don't get any attention, but the ones of a dinosaur riding a Pasofino is going to go viral, I guess.
Well, I know it. That's the amazing thing. I've made a lot of videos that have used a lot more horsemanship and have been a lot harder to accomplish in the T-Rex video. I think the crossover into mainstream America and the mainstream media is you have to be funny. You have to do something that can capture the audience of people that aren't even interested in horses. Obviously to get over 20 million views, people that don't even like horses have to share it and post it and comment on it.
You had 52,000 shares.
Yes, it's been crazy. It's getting to the point where I can't even keep track of how many views there are because so many people have taken it and shared it for themselves, that nobody's able to keep count of the shares. But I know we're somewhere over 20 million. And it's just amazing how fast something can go. I got a call and they asked me how many months or how many years the video had been up that it's got so many views. And I said, well, sir, I posted it at 8 o'clock this morning. And it was about lunchtime.
Wow. I saw it because I think you friended me on Facebook a couple months ago. And I had actually seen some of your other videos. And this horse video popped up on my feed. I think it might have even been the day you posted it. It had already gotten like 1,000 shares at that point. And I clicked on it and I was like, oh, this is going to go insane. And, I think the reasons why it's kind of crossed over is, well, first of all, remember the horse mask that was really popular a little while ago and everyone on the internet is wearing that horse mask? Well, that dinosaur has kind of been the same way. There's a few other videos, viral videos that have had that dinosaur. So that's, it's kind of trending. But then, I think the general public doesn't see what we see with horses all the time. A lot of people, if they've been around horses, you understand how you can get them used to certain things. But if I'm someone who knows nothing about horses and I see that, I'm going to be like, oh my gosh, how did that happen? And that's really insane that horse is doing that.
Definitely, definitely. No, I think definitely what made this one so successful is just like you're saying, it's such a shocker and it's so funny. And so it gets you to react in some way, regardless of what reaction you have. It makes you react once you see it.
Now, how did you train the dinosaur to do all that?
With treats,
of course.
I offered him a horse at the end of the video.
Oh yeah, that is that. I did like that part. It was funny. It was morbidly funny.
Yes, it was morbidly funny, and I think a lot of people didn't get it. I think they wouldn't have got the end there, but it was funny. So my question is, and this is an interesting question: do you think it would have gone as viral if it had not been a Pasofino? Because I think a lot of people have never seen a Pasofino dance either. So, what do you think, Michael?
I honestly believe that him being a Pasofino, it really actually added, because as peculiar as it is to see a dang dinosaur riding a horse, then on top of that, you see those legs going a mile a minute, and that dinosaur just gliding along all bobbleheaded. It just adds to the peculiarness and made people really take a look at it and a second look. And then once you add in the soccer with it, and some of the other things that we did, it just, there's no way to look away. I have some people admit to me that they've seen it 20 times, 25 times.
Okay, so now this is a horse training show, right? So we got to ask you how you got the horse used to the dinosaur.
Honestly, it starts off from the fundamentals and the groundwork. And actually, by the time I have a horse, finished, I got the suit in, and 20 minutes later, the video was done.
Really?
That's how it works. Wow. Just because of the prep work and the horse already being, we go around the country with Mike and Tito show. will be performing that at Road to the Horse. And he's just used to everything. And once you gain the trust of the horse, and they understand that, hey, with you is the safest place to be, they're kind of willing to let you do anything you want to. There was a lot of people asked me how many times I rehearsed the video or how many times. The truth is, I got it. I was waiting for it because it was sold out everywhere since the dinosaur is kind of a viral figure now. I couldn't find it anywhere. Finally, when I found it, I ordered it, and it took forever. And when it showed up on my doorstep from UPS, I opened the package, and 20 minutes later, the video was done.
Is that the reason you picked a dinosaur instead of something else? Was just you saw a video with the dinosaur?
Well, whenever you're going through this process of trying to make something go viral and really trying to be the first to do something that hasn't been done, you fail so many times that you keep trying to learn from it and trying to find out what mainstream media likes. And so then I just wanted to piggyback off of something that already had a little name for itself.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've made some videos that are just absolutely ridiculous, standing up on horses, switching them, jumping them back in trucks, swimming across ponds, doing all kinds of things. And like you said, they would get horse popular, that my horse friends would know about them, but nobody else. So then I started paying attention to what's going viral on social media, aside from horses. And I noticed that dinosaur, he's been getting a lot of attention. So once I saw that, I just wanted to combine the two worlds and see if we could make something happen.
You're a smart marketer. That's what you
yes.
are. You really are.
We see videos like this, whether it's in the horse world or and it looks like someone just kind of whipped out their phone and filmed it 15 minutes, and then bam, they're internet famous and they're on all these shows. And you kind of think, it's kind of dumb luck. But there really is an art to it. And like you were saying, I've seen that dinosaur suit in a couple of other viral videos. There's one that plays basketball. And the funny thing about it is the way it moves, and it's just really comical. So people have already, really hooked on that. And then, among ESPN and all the, mainstream media outlets, you also got the call from Road to the Horse. So you're going to be an entertainer there. What was it like to get that call?
Well, it was actually like a dream come true. I've been raised in the pastoral world. I've trained all kinds of horses, though. And actually, last year was my first year actually attending Road to the Horse.
You were there last year? You were there last year?
I was there in attendance. I was hosting the Pasofino booth there and shaking hands and informing people about the horse. But that's really when this, this dream of mine really caught fire, and I really decided, I want to be a competitor in Road to the Horse one day and be the first gated trainer to win Road to the Horse.
Well, we had Tootie on the show. We had Tootie on the show on Friday, and she's very excited to have you there.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And I was able to meet them there, and basically, that they're not, contrary to popular belief, people think that, you can't go to Road to the Horse if you're from any other kind of breed of horse or this and the other. And it's as simple as, what kind of following do you have and what kind of market can you offer? So the day that I left, I started my Facebook page, and we started making videos, and I put it in my mind that I wanted to make a viral video, and we've been working at it ever since.
Right on.
Well, your horse should be ready for 10,000 people in the stands, that's for sure.
I do believe so. He likes the spotlight, definitely.
Now, this horse, have you competed with this horse in Pasofino shows or just used him for entertainment movies?
He's a three-time Grand National champion. He's been all over the world. Like I say, he's filmed in a movie. He's competed since he was 3 years old. He's 9 now. And he's been winning ever since. He's just an all-around guy. He's the face of the Pasos for the USEF. If you go to the website and whenever you look up the directory of the breeds, every breed has a picture of their ideal horse, and he's the ideal horse of the Pasofino.
What attracts you to the Pasofino?
What attracts me to it? The willingness and how eager they are to do whatever you ask them. A lot of people get confused, the people that do know something about them, and think, they're just a show horse or they're just this, just that. So I want to be the first person to really, break them out of this box that people put them in. They can do anything any other horse can do, with the difference that no other horse can move as smooth as they move.
Oh, yeah. Their gait is I mean, is amazing. And there's one other video I can think of a Pasofino that has gone kind of mainstream viral. It's that little foal. Looks like it's in South America somewhere.
Yes, ma'am. The baby in Colombia.
That is the cutest thing I've ever seen. And this thing, its feet are moving 100 million miles a minute. And the horse is probably moving maybe, you know, it's just barely moving across the screen. And it's right. It's so cute. And you know, we talk about all the theatrics and entertainment, and of course, Road to the Horse is about, you know, being entertaining. But you know, behind it, there's got to be a significant amount of horsemanship. So, you know, I've dabbled in gated breeds a time or two. I've trained a few for the public, and you know, what I've always been told, and I'm sure you'll agree with me, is, you know, you train them as a horse first, and then whatever breed they are or whatever discipline you're aiming for, that comes second. And they really can, you know, you can canter them, and you can change leads and get collection and go over obstacles and anything you want to do. And but then they also, you know, as a bonus, they've got this amazing gait to them.
No, that's absolutely correct. I truly believe, my small core belief, that any horse can be a saddle horse. And our way of training is, we train from the very beginning to be a well-broke, well-rounded saddle horse. You know, one that can take you anywhere you want to go through the trails, go through the obstacle courses, go anywhere. And then if they have the talent to do another discipline, or have the talent to be a gated horse that goes to the show, well, then that's great. But if not, then they can live a long, prosperous life as a trail horse or as an obstacle horse, and really, you know, have value in their life.
Yeah, you know, and they, you know, as a breed, I've only been around a few of them, but they really are amazing horses. And so obviously to get them to do everything that you've got them doing, between the cool dinosaur video and hauling to shows and being in movies, you know, you need to do a lot of desensitizing. Do you have any kind of special tricks or tips that you use that helps your horses get acclimated to different sights and sounds?
Well, basically from the very beginning, what I'm working on is just showing them the path of least resistance, and showing them that, hey, if you just hang out with me wherever I'm at, it's the easiest place you can go. You know, running off is just going to find you more work. Any shenanigans is just going to find you more work. But if you hang out with me, then everything's very relaxed. And once we do that, then it's very easy to keep going forward. And, of course, like every great horse trainer, using blue tarps and anything that I can come up with in my creative mind to desensitize them, whether it's a blue tarp or a flagpole or a T-Rex suit, whatever it may be. Once they get the concept that, you know, we're not going to do anything bad to them, and with us is the safe place to be, you can get these horses to do it absolutely anything you like.
Yeah, I totally agree. Do you ever deviate from Pasos? Do you ever train other breeds?
Yes, ma'am. As a matter of fact, I just had a horsemanship clinic here at my ranch for the past 2 days. We probably went through 15 horses or so, and we worked and trained everything from Belgians all the way down to fox trotters and quarter horses, Mustangs, and Paints. It was a very interesting day, and it was very interesting to see how the exact same methods that we use on the Pasos work on any size or shaped horse that you have. A lot of people think, you know, that you have to be varied or you have to be a specialist to train a horse. At the end of the day, a good horseman is a good horseman, and the good principles work for all breeds.
Well, we're going to leave it at that, because those are no truer words have been said. So we're looking forward to seeing you over at Road to the Horse performing there, and we'll get you back on the air. We'll be doing our shows from there. So we'll hopefully get you back on the air after we've seen this in person, and it should be a lot of fun. Thank you so much for joining us today, and see you in a couple of weeks.
Hey, thank you all so much for having me on, and I'm really looking forward to it. Wait to see you out there.
Hey, Michael, what's your website address?
For Facebook, you can look me up at Gascon Horsemanship, and my website is GasconHorsemanship.com.
And it's GASCON, right?
Yes, sir.
All right, very good. Thanks, Michael. Well, Mary, I'm looking forward to seeing him in person and seeing the dinosaur in person.
Yeah, and I've heard he's got some, I've heard there's some other stuff planned too that, you know, we don't know what that is yet. So that's going to be exciting.
Well, I've never met a real dinosaur in person. So, I mean, last time I went to Road to the Horse, I met my first Z-Donk, and that was with you. So
oh, yeah.
If the dinosaur is for sale, are you going to be buying that too?
Oh, heck no.
Z-Donk was hard enough.
Yes, dinosaur she's enough of a predator, of a prehistoric predator.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah.
Now, do you think, I asked him this question, I want to ask you this question. Do you think it would have went as viral if it hadn't been a Pasifino?
You know, I'm not sure. And that's the trick with these things. Like I said, you know, some of these videos that go crazy viral, you know, just look really casual and like it just kind of happened, but they're you know, some of them are meticulously planned and like with Michael, some of them, you know, the either that it was shot 10 years ago and something happened to make it go viral. It's if it was really easy to decide what goes viral, then we would all be really rich.
That's
and
true
famous.
And it's usually one person that of import that picks it up, or one like an NBC or CNBC or somebody.
Yes.
Ellen. You know, somebody sees it and then reposts it that has a large following. And that's really all it takes at that point. Then it can take off from there. But you need that one catalyst to really propel it. And then to go truly viral. I mean, really, really viral. The most we had the one of my pony of Scooter rolling in the water got 1 million.
Wow.
And that was just a whole bunch of horse people that, yeah, and then non-horse people got into that. I think we had, oh, I forget how many. Was it 5,000-10,000 comments on it, something to that effect? But it just went crazy, and we didn't plan it that way. Or I would have done a better job of marketing. See, he actually put his logo on it and everything. This was just a video I put up, my pony rolling in the water.
Yeah.
So, you know, I did not think it was going to go to 1 million, or I would have put horses in the morning all over it.
And,
you know. But I didn't, of course.
I had the only thing I've had come close, I had a photo go viral, and I kind of did the same thing, but it wasn't like, you know, it was this big, you know, plan I had to be famous or whatever. But when that blue and black dress thing was going on.
Oh, yeah.
You know, everyone was losing their mind over what color of the dress. So I found this kind of stock photo of a Palomino Pinto horse. It was a yellow and white horse. And I kind of put a picture of it and I put words over it. I said, you know, it's a blue and black horse. And that went crazy viral. And the same thing, I sent it out there and it got shared, like, you know, I think it only got seen. It was like a little over 500,000. But I was like, why didn't I put my name all over that? You know, I don't know what it would have.
Because you don't expect, you expect your friends to see it and that's it.
Yeah, you know? I know it gets shared, you know, like quite a bit. But yeah. And then, of course, they had the comments of people saying that is probably not a paint horse. You should make the distinction that paint is a breed.
Yeah, of course. Like, yeah, oh, yeah, 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 yeah. The know-it-alls.
Yeah.
The other thing too, the most downloaded show we have had has been the one with both Lisa Kelly's on it. Lisa Kelly, the Ice Road Trucker, and Lisa Kelly, the singer. We introduced them on the driving radio show, and Lisa Kelly, the trucker, has 500,000 followers that are rabid. She is the most popular trucker in the world.
Wow.
And, I mean, just rabid. And she's a horse girl. So she's been on our shows many times. And we're friends. I talk to her all the time. And I got her together with Lisa Kelly, the singer from the Celtic Women. And I was a big fan of Celtic Women, too. And they had never talked. But yet they were confused for each other all the time. So I surprised the one Lisa Kelly with the other one on the show. And it was very cute. But they both promoted it out to their fan bases.
And we
had tens of thousands of downloads, you know, just in minutes of that one. Because it was just, you know, those two have large audiences, and that's what it takes. And their audiences thought it was so cool that they got to meet each other. So, you know, for them, for the audiences, it was cool that they got to meet each other too. So that was neat.
Cool.
That was very cool. Well, let's head on with the show. What did you say the name of your new thoroughbred for Thoroughbred Makeover is?
His jockey club name is Landon's First, but I have given him the barn name Moonshine.
And I have a song to go with that. For today's song, we're going to play a little Templeton Thompson, Stillhouse Jane. little song about moonshine.
Jane, stay out of the still house. Jane, stay out of the still house. You know you love that sweet Virginia corn.
We're going to come back from that. 3, 2, 1. Well, there you go. Dedicated to your horse, Moonshine. That's got to be his theme song, Stillhouse Jane.
Oh, you know, I am in I'm planning on the freestyle class, so maybe that'll be our freestyle.
That would be perfect.
Yeah.
And actually, it's a good song to dance to, so it'd be perfect. It would be perfect.
Oh, man. It's serendipity.
All right. I'll send it over to you, okay?
Perfect.
Now you can start thinking about your freestyle now. You need to have some kegs of whiskey out there. You need to have a still going with smoke coming out the top. I'll help you with this. We can build a set.
Oh, perfect.
And it'd be great if you could teach your horse to stop and drink. That would be perfect.
Oh, man.
Or a bottle of booze or something that he would actually take a bottle of booze off the counter and pour it down himself.
Sure. Sure. That'll be easy. I'll get right on that.
Come on, Mary. You got the skills.
I do sometimes.
All right. Next up, you have an online video series you want to tell everybody about.
Yeah. Well, actually, it kind of works out perfect. I've got this new horse in training. He's going to be part of a big competition. And because he's going to be a blank slate for me, he is one of a few horses I'm going to feature in an online video series that we're going to launch here in the next couple of weeks. Now, it's going to, you know, I'm going to have several different, you know, methods and ideas to share with you. But I'm also going to share a lot about using positive reinforcement training to train a horse that's going to be used for performance. So, you know, with this guy, he knows nothing about it. And he already kind of has a little bit of an issue with being pretty nippy and trying to, you know, put your arm in his mouth. So he's going to be a perfect candidate to kind of show not only how to get started on positive reinforcement, but how to work around behaviors like, you know, kind of being muggy and pushy.
Very good. And where can people find the videos?
It will be on my website. In fact, if you go on my website now, I do have a page built that talks about it a little bit. And, we're going to officially launch it here within the next probably 3 or 4 weeks.
Very good. Well, let's get to our next guest. We have one of the competitors that's going to be at Road to the Horse, the only one we haven't talked to here on Horses in the Morning, Nick Dowers. He's a rookie to this competition, going up against two world champions already, so he's got his work cut out for him. And he's very well known in the cow horse world, and an overall good guy. We're going to get him on and chat a little bit about his competition and also cow horse training, because Mary has to figure out how to do that now. With a thoroughbred.
Yes. Okay, we've got Nick Dowers out of Nevada. How are you, Nick?
I'm doing fine. How are you guys?
Pretty good, pretty good. So, you know, a lot of people in the horse industry are getting to know you through Road to the Horse. You're one of the three competitors. We've got Richard Winters and Clinton Anderson, and you're kind of the new kid on the block. I think you're the one in the group that hasn't done it before. But you also train cow horses in Nevada, and you've had some pretty big wins under your belt. What made you decide to become part of Road to the Horse?
Well, I've always wanted to find a way that I could kind of showcase what I put a lot of effort into here at the ranch. It's always been a really big deal to me to get my horses started off on the right foot. And so having a platform like Road to the Horse is a way to go ahead and show off kind of what I take a lot of pride in on a day-to-day basis. And so I'm pretty excited to have that kind of platform.
Hey, Nick, if you win at Road to the House, you're going to win some money. So that might be true.
Yeah, I guess so.
That might have been a Freudian slip.
Yeah, anyway.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what, I am personally very excited to see you there, because I think people are going to get exposed to a really great program. I've gone over your website and kind of looked at your history, and it just looks like you have a tremendous experience starting 2-year-olds. And I tell you what, I've never seen such glowing testimonials from your mentors, people like Joe Walter and Brian Newbert and Andrea Fapani, who's a multi-million dollar reining trainer. So for sure, I think you're gonna bring a lot to the table. But you also do a lot with reined cow horses. So, you know, I know there's probably a few people listening on the show that might not have heard of that event, or, you know, events like the Snafflebit Futurity. So tell us a little bit about that and how you get horses prepared for something like that.
Okay. The reined cow horse is an event that started out here on the West Coast that traces back to the old Spanish vaqueros. And it kind of started out as where, a lot like rodeo, where the hands on the ranches would show up and they would compete to kind of find out who had the best cow horse. And it's kind of evolved into three specialized events where we have cutting, which is really similar to the cutting that most people see, the NCHA cutting. It's very similar to that. They allow us to use our hands and help the horse, where in cutting it's your hands down and you're kind of on your own there. But they allow us to use our hands, so that's the kind of the variation for the cutting. And then we do reining, which is a lot like the straight reining that you'll see, the NRHA. But again, we're allowed at the 3-year-old stage to use two hands to help our horse. And then kind of the staple event would be going down the fence or the fence work. And that's where they let one single cow in at a time, and we'll box it or hold it on one end of the arena, make a couple big long turns on the long end of the arena, and then finish up by circling up, just showing how agile and quick and just showing the how the horse can kind of control a cow and put a cow through the paces. It's pretty neat.
Yeah, it's a really exciting event, and of course, you know, that fence work portion is always amazing to watch. You know, they box the cow and take it down the fence, that's always really cool to see. And you had a pretty big win in 2013. You actually won the Snafflebit Futurity, and that's with a horse. I can't remember his name. It's one that you own. Is that correct?
Yeah. In 2013, I was fortunate enough to win kind of the staple event of the cow horse, which is the 3-year-old Futurity, and it's held in Reno. And couple years prior, I found a yearling that I really liked, and we purchased the yearling. When I say we, I mean the ranch and my family's ranch. We purchased the yearling, and then I put him through the training and put him through the process, and we were fortunate enough to come out on top. It was a pretty big moment. You know, it was really humbling to know that there's fellow competitors that have been doing this for 20, 30 years, million-dollar riders that haven't been able to achieve that. And so it was super humbling to know that I was part of that group, and it was pretty fun.
Yeah, you know, I tell you what, I was looking at your bio and everything, and you know, I followed your win in 2013, you know, and I didn't know much about you or your program at the time. And then, you know, as I was reading it, it says here, I think you purchased your first show horse in 2009. So had you shown it all before that?
Yes, I had. I showed, well, before 2009, basically at a local level, you know, like a county fair or a thing like that. That's kind of what my experience was limited to before that. I wanted to make sure when I went to play with the big boys that I had a nice horse. And so once that horse came along, that horse was JP Royal Boone. Once that horse came along, and then I had to step up and go play with the big boys.
Wow, that, like you said earlier, you know, I've known people too that have just been in this for decades, and even one of my former bosses told me that he says it takes 5 years just to learn how to show, not to go win, but just to learn, and it really is a process, and so that's amazing what you've been able to accomplish in that short amount of time. So one of the things you're known for is not really just keeping a horse in the arena and just focusing on what you've got to do to be good in that pattern. You do a lot of kind of all around training with your horses. Can you tell us something, you know, some other kind of maybe out of the box type of training you do?
Yeah, I try to get my horses from the very first time we start them. And as soon as we're kind of taking the training wheels off and starting to ride them outside, which is pretty fast. We'll get them outside, and I want them to have like a real sense of accomplishment in what we're doing and what we do. And ranch work is a great avenue for that. We've got a ranch that we run here, and we've got day-to-day activities that we need to accomplish. And so I just seen growing up how just everyday ranch work was getting these horses broke, and I knew nothing about training. I didn't even pretend to, and it was kind of crazy how I just used them and they got better. And so I've tried to bring that into my performance horses as well. It doesn't shortcut what needs to be done in the arena and the specialization that needs to take place. But I think if you can kind of broaden their minds and give them some field trips, you might say, throughout the process, it just makes that process so much quicker. And I feel like they enjoy it. They really do. They start to learn a sense of accomplishment. And it just translates right into the show pen.
What's the thing that has you most concerned? I assume you've been. How many times have you been to watch Road to the Horse?
I've been two times.
So what's the thing that concerns you the most about being in there? Obviously, it's a big venue. There's a lot of people, and they're rabid people, right? They're really into it, and they seem to know really what they're looking at, and you know really what they're seeing. And you're going to be the underdog here, too, because we have two world champions. So I think you're going to get a good part of the audience that, you know, that really roots for you.
Yeah, well, we'll see. I've got my hands full. You know, Clinton's won it twice. Richard's won it once. And I've never competed in anything like it. But I think what I've been doing the last 10 years, where I've really dedicated it to the two-year-old program and getting my horses started off right, I think it's got me prepared, and I feel pretty confident in what I need to do as a horseman in there for sure.
And Richard Winter isn't, he's been known to, you know, to intimidate a little bit too, you know, throw some barbs here and there and really make it kind of fun. You know, obviously he can do that. He's been announcing the last couple of years. So it's going to be interesting to see him go back from announcing to doing that, you know, to competing again.
Right, for sure.
I think
for
he's going to be giving you some crap, is what I'm saying.
Yeah. Not Richard.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's it's competition, and I thrive in competition. I really enjoy it. So that's,
well, you have my permission to give Richard some crap back, okay?
Yeah. Okay. All right. Yeah.
We are so excited to see you compete. It's always nice to see fresh faces show up. And, you know, Mary, you've been in that ring. If you had to give him a piece of advice, what would you say about that particular arena and that crowd?
Oh, man. Well, you know, obviously, I was just a little bit short of getting in the round pen. So for, you know, I have plenty of ideas for the actual round pen part. But the good thing about the Road to the Horse crowd is they are rabid, but they're also, they're pretty educated, and they're also very supportive. You know, we talked on last week's show about how the obstacle course at the end is insane. And, you know, these guys have to memorize this course and then take a brand new young colt across this course. So it's really easy to forget all of your elements. There's so many of them. And the crowd is really good, no matter who they came to root for, about, you know, yelling at the trainer, "You did the wrong thing. You have to go back." So they're good about keeping the crowd off course. But, you know, I tell you what, Nick, I know you've been in front of some really huge and amazing audiences before. So there's probably nothing I could tell you I should be asking your advice.
Yeah, I doubt that. But I doubt that.
Maybe
yeah.
in about three yeah. weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, Nick, good luck. We're going to be rooting for you.
Well, thank you very much. Thanks for having me on.
All right. Take care. We'll see you in a couple weeks.
Okay, sounds good. Thank you.
Well, now I'm getting excited, Mary. I'm getting excited to go to Kentucky. I'm getting excited to hang out with you and to do this coverage. It's going to be a whole new thing for me, too, because we've never done the kind of coverage that we're going to do this time, and I've never done it with anybody that has been on that floor. I know you were a wild card, but you've still been there. You still felt the pressure, so, and you know a lot about training, so I'm just very excited to be doing it with you.
Oh, yeah, man. You know, I haven't been thinking about it because this is the first year I'm not actually planning to go and compete and trying to get everything in order. And the more we talk to these guys, you're going to be in it. I'm getting psyched. It's going to be great.
And it's going to be so easy for you this year. You get on a plane with your little bag full of stuff. You get off the plane. I pick you up. And that's all you need.
Yes, get some Kentucky bourbon.
That's right. We hit the bar. We're good to go.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, let's not tell Tootie that, okay?
Yeah.
She really probably wants us sober for the coverage. Now, I want to do one other thing before we wrap up the show today, and that was a listener question that we had from Stephanie. Now, Stephanie is out of the Bronx, actually. No, Harlem. She's out of Harlem in New York City.
Oh, right on.
And she was down here visiting some friends in Ocala and stopped by and did the show with us, sat in for the show on Monday. It was a lot of fun to have her and her friends here. And she had a question about clicker training. And this is a good question because my pony's this way. She said, with clicker training, how do you keep them from becoming treat obsessed and you know, like reaching their noses in your pockets and just not letting it go? And my pony's that way. Once you give him a treat, he's like all over you and he doesn't stop. So when we're actually doing training or we have him on the cross ties or I'm putting him in the cart, I don't do any treats because he kind of loses his mind. Mm-hmm. So what do you do to avoid that? And I think that's a thing that a lot of people are worried about with positive reinforcement and with clicker training.
Yes, and that's a wonderful question. It's probably the most asked question in, you know, that any clicker trainer will get outside of when can I stop clicking. So those are two big questions that people ask. And so, you know, first of all, you know, there's a couple of things that go into consideration when you're figuring out how to do this. And one is, you know, people ask, how can I get them to stop mugging? So they're thinking about what they don't want their horse to do. What I want you to think of if you decide to start clicker training is, what do I want my horse to do? So we're going to give him another job. Instead of mugging, you know, we're going to give him something else to do. It's not clear enough for the horse just to simply say, don't do this, because and I was just listening to this wonderful TED talk by a dog clicker trainer in Israel, and she gave this amazing analogy. And this is good for clicker training or any type of horse training. And she was talking about if I get into a taxi cab And I'm in the Dallas area. So let's say I get in a taxi cab and I tell my cab driver, okay, I don't want you to take me to Arlington and I don't want you to take me to Plano and I don't want you to take me to Fort Worth. Well, what's this guy going to do? You know, first of all, he's going to be really confused and exasperated and he's going to finally ask, where do you want me to take you? So, you know, that's not how we ask for things. So with the horses, we tend to get a little obsessed with, I don't want you to do this. Don't do this. Don't do this. Don't do this. So when it comes to the mugginess, obviously we know we don't want them to mug, but we need to give them something else to do that we can reinforce. So the simplest thing that I do is I start by putting them on the other side of a barrier for safety. So this could be the other side of a fence, as long as they can, you know, comfortably get their head over, or a stall guard, something that I don't have to worry about the horse getting into my space and you know, making it an unsafe situation. If it gets unsafe, I can always walk away and I'm fine. So that's step one. And then step two, instead of punishing the bad behavior, I'm going to change my focus to rewarding the good behavior. So initially, that may mean simply, your head is not in my pocket. I'm going to click that. And then from there, you know, I'll click that several times. And then from there, I might get a little bit more specific. I'm going to say, okay, well, what else can we do while I'm standing next to you, while I'm standing next to your head? Well, I'd like your head and neck pretty straight. So I'm going to reward moments when he keeps his head and neck straight. And you can actually get really specific with this. You can say, okay, well, I want your front feet square, or maybe I'd like both your ears forward. And so you can slowly start to add more criteria into that task. And then from there, when you really work on it, and I've taken to working on this every day, several times a day, no matter how advanced my clicker horse is, because it's not only a lesson in don't mug me, it's also a lesson in emotional control, which is useful for anything you can imagine with the horse. And what I mean by emotional control is, you know, I understand that a horse may be fresh and he may be anxious. There may be a lot of things going on. You know, maybe I haven't ridden him in a few days. At some point in his life, he needs to start having some discipline and learn to control his emotions to where, you know, I shouldn't have to wear him out every time I want him to listen. So this is a great exercise to establish that. And you're giving him a job. This horse now understands, okay, well, she's not reinforcing me when I try to get the treats for myself, but let me try something else that I know will get the reinforcement. And the more you practice this, the more it'll become a default behavior, meaning he'll go to that right away rather than mugging and then looking away from you. And it takes time, and yeah, it's a little tedious, but again, it does have so many benefits everywhere else in his training. So I am actually going to be doing this a lot with my off-the-track thoroughbred.
That's very cool. And, you know, I think what, and this is my case, all right, is we tend to do it a little bit, but we don't do it enough.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yes. You understand what I'm saying? You know, we'll play with the clicker training a little bit, and then it's 3 weeks. And then we'll do it again, and then we wonder why they haven't learned anything. But, you know, it's like anything else. You know, you got to do it several times a week and keep reinforcing it, and you got it. It's training. It's like anything else. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where I get in the trouble, and I'm sure that's where a lot of other people get in the trouble. So then basically it's just the horses getting treats.
Yeah, pretty much. And you know, another level of this is I do this exercise to help prevent my horses from being so obsessed with the treats. But then you can also use it as a way to train a horse that's already kind of pushy and muggy and nippy. You can actually use food to train those behaviors out of them, which I find just incredibly fascinating. You know, and again, instead of saying, I don't want you to do this, give them another job, you know, especially with those really busy horses. Like, imagine your pony is probably a very busy-minded little horse. So those horses, it's not good enough just to, you know, say, well, I don't want you to do this. You know, give them something else to do and then reinforce them. And they're like, oh, man, okay, I can do this all day long.
That is true with him, and you need, and especially the Hackney, like he is, because mm-hmm. the Hackney ponies, they're pretty intelligent, but you better give them a job. And you better give them something to do all the time because they're so curious all the time, too. They're, you know, they can be stinkers, but they're not like bad pony stinkers. They're just very intelligent, and they're very curious, and they want something to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you just leave them alone to their own devices, they're going to do something to pacify themselves.
Yep.
You know, Guthrie is very happy not moving for hours on end. That's, you know, he's happy
not,
as a clam.
Not my pony.
Yeah. But horses like that, you know, like I suspect my new thoroughbred is going to be, just on the little I've observed him, I have a few other horses like this as well. They cannot just be left alone with their thoughts. They got to do something. So if you don't give them something to do, they'll figure out their own thing. And this could be pawing or screaming at their other friends or pacing or, you know, biting your shirt or digging in your pockets. So all you have to do is just replace one thing with another. You know, give them something to focus on.
Thank you very much. Mary Kitzmiller can be found at marykitzmiller.com. All of your stuff is there. And your store is still there, right? You didn't sell everything in California.
I did not, and I'm adding new things all the time. I've got some new purses up, which are awesome. And, you know, keep an eye out. We'll be launching the video program here pretty soon. So lots of cool stuff to be found there.
And, of course, you can hear more of Mary as we come on to the Road to the Horse coverage. We'll be there middle of March, and we'll be posting a lot more about our coverage on the Road to the Horse Facebook page and the Road to the Horse website, in addition to horsesinthemorning.com. So we'll definitely be coming to you live that Friday, Saturday, and then 4 hours on Sunday, the first time that anybody has ever covered the finals of Road to the Horse Live, and we're very flattered to be asked to do that. And apparently bourbon is the alcohol of choice, Mary?
I think so.
You know, the hotel we're staying at has a bourbon bar with every bourbon made in Kentucky.
Wow.
They do flights of bourbon.
Oh, my gosh.
So you'll be in good...
I worry about talking about this. We're going to think I'm an alcoholic. Diet Coke is my drink of choice.
With
to be
bourbon.
Honest. Yeah. Ooh, I hadn't thought of that.
Yeah, you're like a Diet Coke-aholic.
Oh, my goodness. Yes.
And you know what? Now you're going to get 50 emails telling you how bad Diet Coke is for you. So just tell everybody you know. Go ahead. Tell them.
I already know. It's like I can't stop eating chicken nuggets either, and I know what goes into those McNuggets.
Oh, you know, I gave up. I used to love chicken McNuggets, but now it's nothing but breading and no chicken. So I had to give up on chicken
McNuggets. I like breading, so, you know, there's nothing wrong with that.
And the other thing you're going to learn about Mary, I've hung out with her long enough, and now we're going to go spend days together, and I know where we're going to be eating. If it's junk food or if it's bad for you, Mary loves it.
There is a Qdoba near the fairgrounds, which is my favorite place to eat ever. It's not bad for you, actually. It's like Chipotle, but it probably won't... give you hepatitis or whatever is going around.
Well,
Chipotle.
I also lived in Lexington for 4 years, so I know all the local places.
Ooh,
I can take you for the greasy southern food too.
Awesome.
So yeah, you'll be well taken care of, I promise, because
good deal.
I know all the little spots. And if you like, do you like Cajun?
Yeah,
not too much.
Yeah, I can do Cajun. If it's like Cajun-flavored chicken or Cajun-flavored chicken pasta, that's pretty much the only...
Oh, okay. So you don't do the real etouffees and the gumbos and all that stuff.
If it comes out of a lake or a pond or an ocean...
We're even because I don't eat any fish or seafood.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah.
I know. No, this is chicken and sausage.
Not that.
Chicken and sausage.
Okay.
Yeah,
I can do that.
They have one of the best Cajun restaurants, believe it or not, in Lexington.
Wow.
So,
okay.
Yeah, they do. So I'll show you the ropes there, Mary.
Awesome.
We'll be in good shape. And then we'll see if we show up to do our coverage. All right, everybody. Thank you so much. Of course, Horses in the Morning can be found at horsesinthemorning.com. Jamie will be back here with me on Monday. So we'll have a regular show for you on Monday. We did not get to Really Bad Ads today. And that's okay because we'll have them next week and we'll announce the winner of the monthly contest next week. If you want to send your ads in, send them to Jennifer@horseradionetwork.com. Have a great weekend, everybody. See you, Mary.
All right. See ya.